on 106 to 108 FM and newstalk.com. This is Newstalk.
Great photograph on the front of the Irish Independent of the Japanese player and the Irish player in the rugby sevens at the Olympics in Paris. The Japanese player with his hands on Shay Mullen's face. And Ireland have qualified for the quarterfinals, as we heard, with two wins on day one. A bit early for me to get into the Olympics yet, but it'll all kick off tomorrow at the Olympics official opening ceremony in Paris. But in the meantime, the rugby sevens back out again on the field today. The main story, immigration Gardaí numbers stagnant as migrant cases surge. So obviously we've had a surge in migrants and refugees into Ireland. You would think we would hire more staff, but the number of officers in the Garda National Immigration Bureau has fallen in the past 2 years. There are fewer than 100 officers in the Bureau, and that Bureau is responsible for prevention, detection and investigation of illegal immigration. I think the Garda National Immigration Bureau are also the people you meet when you show your passport at the airport. But anyway, it doesn't seem to be a big recruitment campaign, and the numbers in that Bureau are stagnant. The front of the Irish Examiner has more on the search for the boy off the cliffs of Moher. It's a really, really horrific story. The search for a young boy reported missing in the vicinity of the cliffs of Moher is to resume today. The search has been ongoing since Tuesday, but they had to call it off yesterday because of bad weather. And it's believed that the boy became separated from his family, who are visiting Ireland from overseas. The boy's family had begun searching for him, and when there was no sign of the child, they returned to the Cliffs of Moher Visitor Centre and raised the alarm. And then we had the search operation. So we do have these reports of a missing young boy, and everyone will be hoping that there's a positive resolution to that particular story. The Irish Times on the front page talks about our defamation laws, which are very strict in this country. And certainly if you're a broadcaster, you walk a high wire and a tightrope every day because of the strict defamation laws. But the news is that the abolition of juries for High Court defamation actions, protections against this is called SLAP, which I'm sure you're not familiar with. Maybe you are. So protections against the strategic lawsuit against public participant cases and measures to reduce legal costs for those involved are included in proposals due to go before the Oireachtas in the autumn. So essentially we're reforming defamation laws in this country, making it less costly for plaintiffs to obtain the identity of people who post defamatory content online, and a new defence for retailers subjected to defamation claims for challenging people on whether they've paid before leaving a shop. Expect a lot of debate in the autumn about our defamation laws. The proposals due to go before the Oireachtas in the autumn, and the goal is to have them enacted by Christmas. The Irish Daily Mail, anger at RTE blank check. We have the €725 million bailout for RTE. Now rival broadcasters like Virgin Media and Nova are telling the Mail of their fury at the bailout of RTE. The media minister, though, Catherine Martin, denying that it is a blank check. The front of the Irish Daily Mirror, the riot squadron. Apparently drones are being used to deliver petrol bombs to the former Crown Paints factory in Coolock, which is the centre of anti-asylum seeker protests. The High Court heard yesterday that drones are being used to send in unlit petrol bombs, and lawyers for the developers of the site said devices appear to have been dropped off by air. The Irish Daily Star, headline of the morning, if not the year, this is a cracking front page headline. You've got to pick a portal or two, is the headline. And the news is that a thief has been caught with his hand in the pocket of a victim as the victim waves to New York City. The thief was confronted by the man he was robbing seconds after the picture was taken, because the Star has a photograph of the person robbing your man as he's waving to New York. So that's the headline there. It's called Dublin Crime Crisis. You've got to pick a portal or two. Actually, staying with crime and the portal, a number of related stories. Firstly, on the portal, the Irish Times has got a hold of some of the complaints received by Dublin City Council about the portal, and some Dubliners feared for the state of Irish-American relations after deeply anti-American rhetoric and antisocial behaviour was broadcast at the Dublin portal across the Atlantic. This is the 24-hour live stream between Dublin and New York City. And a sample of complaints received by Dublin City Council has given a flavour of how some Dubliners felt about the art installation. One person urged the local authority to either move the portal to the south side or get rid of it altogether. Also, they say it's a national embarrassment this is happening. Whoever decided the location of the portal should feel the same. Another person wrote to the council urging it to end the live stream, contending that it may be inflicting damage upon general relations between the people of New York, the US, and the people of Dublin. Another person said that they're at a total loss as to why the portal has turned out to be an absolute worldwide embarrassment in only a couple of days of its unveiling. Still haven't seen it, but I know a lot of people do love it. Also, Dublin crime never far from the headlines. In the Mirror today, we are told that 9 out of 10 pub owners say they're worried about policing levels in Dublin. Customers are being harassed by marauding gangs of youths, drug dealers and violent vagrants. A survey by the Licensed Vintners Association found that pubs had to call in Gardaí on average 4 times over the last year. And one of those pub owners, Willie Ahern from the Palace Bar, says he's noticed an increase in antisocial behaviour since pubs reopened following the pandemic. Across the water, the Times of London says that for the first time ever, the Treasury in the UK has placed no new orders for coins this year. So we talk about cashless society. We had access to cash discussed at the cabinet meeting here yesterday. But across the water, apparently nearly half of adults are living largely cashless lives. And the Treasury said there's no need for any new coins to be made. There are enough already in circulation and coins aren't being used. So let's see if the EU follows the same with the euro and the euro coins. And then two final stories for you. One from The Telegraph. A postman in France was looking to clock off early. Lots of people would like to clock off early from work. However, this postman was found to have hoarded 13,000 unsent letters in his garage so that he could clock off early. The unnamed postmaster is to stand trial next year, charged with breach of trust after residents 20 miles east of Lyon had complained over their erratic postal service. Then 10 days ago, the reason for the problem was finally resolved when police found the couple's garage piled high with undelivered mail. Letters were stuffed between spare tyres, a lawnmower and other garden equipment in the garage. Police also found a samurai sword, if you don't mind, as well. So the man said that he became swamped by the workload. You don't realise that it's a huge job being a postman, and he wanted to clock off early because he was so overwhelmed. So this is going to be a big court case in France. Final story, we have the most beautiful woman in the world announced. The Sun tells us that it's Anya Taylor-Joy, the most beautiful woman in the world, according to an ancient mathematical formula. If you're wondering who she is, she's the lead in The Queen's Gambit, and she has come closest to the Greeks' idea of perfection as defined by their golden ratio, because her eyebrows, eyes, nose, lips, chin, jaw and facial shape were among those mapped and measured by cosmetic surgeons. Her eyes scored particularly high, 98.9% perfect, but she was let down by her lips, apparently. It's great in 2024 that we're objectifying women as a sexual object still. The top 10 beauties, Anya Taylor-Joy is number one, most beautiful woman in the world, followed by Zendaya, Bella Hadid, Margot Robbie, Song Hye-kyo, don't know who that is, Beyonce, Taylor Swift, Zhang Ziyi, don't know who that is, I'm sorry, Aliyah Bhatt, don't know who that is, and Nazanin Bonniadidi. So they're the top 10 most beautiful women in the world. Now, those are the stories making the headlines.
On 106 to 108 FM and Newstalk.com. This is Newstalk.